the entire staff of the New Orleans Times-Picayune will need to find new jobs. All 161 staffers learned they would be laid off last week after the paper and its website were sold off. Some may be rehired by the new owners, but this is just the latest sign of how the news industry is being torn apart in the digital age. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us as he does each Monday from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
So the Wall Street Journal had a big piece over the weekend about haves and have-nots of the news industry. Local newspapers and news sites like the Times-Picayune have been the losers in this story.
Yeah. About one in seven newspapers in the U.S. have lost more than half of their newsrooms since 2004. Many of those that haven't gone away entirely have essentially become ghosts. Some watchers, some analysts call them literally ghost newspapers. And this is a real tragedy, not only to those reporters and editors and copywriters who are losing their jobs with these newspapers, but also for these cities, for these metro areas that are now in a world where you have some jobs in journalism that are concentrated on the coasts, but not enough journalism jobs in the middle of the country, in the heartland of the country, actually looking at what's happening in local government, in local businesses to root out corruption and take stock of the powerful, which is what journalism should be all about.
And one of the culprits here is the tech companies, Google, Facebook. They've sucked up 77% of the digital advertising revenue in local markets, 58% nationally. How much do they factor into what's going on?
Well, they're an enormous part of this picture, and the internet is an enormous part of this picture. You know, a newspaper is a bundle, obviously. It arrives as a bundle, but it's also a bundle of services. It's advertisements served against articles that an individual might not read, but because they have to buy the entire thing, they're therefore supporting a network of journalists and companies that they might not be coming into direct interaction with. That's how the newspaper business got so big, is through these print monopolies in local areas. But what the internet essentially did is it uncrossed all of these subsidies. So if you were, say, trying to sell a car, you wouldn't necessarily have to go through a local newspaper. You could start it. You could, you know, advertise on a car website. If you wanted to sell a couch, you wouldn't have to sell a classified ad in a newspaper. You could go to a national classifieds website. And so essentially what's happened is that as advertising has become a lot more efficient, and Google and Facebook have made it so much more efficient for advertisers to find their ideal consumer, it's made it more difficult for newspapers that were at least initially built on a less efficient mode of advertising. So in many ways, what's happening here is that as advertising has become better at finding individuals, newspapers have been left behind as that bundle strategy has essentially unwound. And it's made Google and Facebook some of the richest companies in the world, but it's also really sapped away a lot of jobs, a lot of newspapers from so many American cities.
Okay, so we've talked about the problem here. Let's talk about some solutions. One of them, apparently, for local newspapers is that they're being bought up by hedge funds. Is that working?
No, it's not working. So as newspapers became a distressed asset, they attracted a lot of attention from hedge funds. But those hedge funds aren't in the news business. They're in the profit business. And right. In this case, they're in the profit extraction business. So last year, I spoke with the managing editor of the Denver Post, which was bought out by a hedge fund called MNG. MNG said, we want to focus on immediate profits here. Well, how do you focus on immediate profits with a company that has declining revenue? What you do is you fire a lot of people, and that's precisely what the hedge fund did. They're taking out cash as quickly as they can to put that into other businesses that are growing faster. Now, that might be a strategy to run a successful hedge fund for a decade, but it's not a strategy to save the news. It's a strategy to treat newspapers like wet sponges, to be wrung out, liquidated, and then thrown away.
Well, the other option, I guess, is the Washington Post model, and you have a billionaire, Jeff Bezos, stepping in, buying that paper, pumping a ton of money into it. It's unclear, though, whether, you know, it will make enough money to be able to do that when it doesn't have a rich person coming up and saying, here, I'll give you the resources you need to do the reporting. And local newspapers aren't going to have that kind of support.
That's right. So you have, if the money's not going to come from hedge funds, maybe it'll come from billionaire benefactors. Maybe it'll come directly from readers. What you've seen essentially with the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, is that a lot of newspapers have essentially said, we've lost the advertising war to Google and Facebook. We're never going to be the advertising machine that they are. What we need to do is to shift our business from advertising to subscribers. We need to ask our readers to prove our worth by paying us money every single month. That has worked for some national newspapers that are essentially utilities. There are millions of readers who feel like they need the New York Times. There are business people, businessmen and businesswomen who feel like they need the Wall Street Journal or the Financial Times. So those newspapers have done a relatively successful job transferring their business towards subscriptions, but it's been very, very difficult for other newspapers to do the same.
Well, I hope they figure out a way to get the money that they need to stay in business because, as you've said, local newspapers are really important to make sure that people all across this country know what is going on in their communities. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.